Recording live from the Northeast Georgia Business Radio X Studio. This is Northeast Georgia Business Radio presented by Regions Bank. Embrace the FN life. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to another exciting edition of Northeast Georgia Business Radio. I'm your host, Tom Sheldon, and yeah, we're coming to you live from the beautiful Empower College and Career Center of Jackson County. I have with me yet another great guest. All my guests are great, I know, but this one is. I have with me today, from the American Red Cross Northeast Georgia Chapter, Patty Duckworth. Patty, welcome to the Northeast Studio.
Thank you, Tom. I'm so happy to be here. I appreciate you having me.
How are you?
Fantastic. A little rainy today, but that's rainy. Okay.
It's okay. It's dry in the studio.
Chase the pollen away.
That's true. You know, if we got a good rain for about an hour, it'd probably help everything.
Absolutely.
And make even more pollen. It's
very true.
We technically are in the fifth season in Georgia. You've got winter, spring, pollen, and summer. Back to fall.
Absolutely.
We're in our fifth season.
I love that. It's true.
It's
price you pay for warm weather.
Some of us pay more than others.
Absolutely.
American Red Cross, that's you.
Yes, sir.
That is you. But now you are executive director.
I am.
You're the boss, sort of, kind of.
I'm doing a job, and I love it.
Oh, it's more of a passion. I'm going to jump in and say, I know you too well. It's a passion for you.
It's a passion, for sure.
It's truly a passion for you.
Yes, and everyone that is in my chapter, they all are leaders in their own right in what they do. So I have a lot of passion for the people I serve with.
Now, there's multiple chapters, what, in the state, in the country, all the above?
There are chapters in every state, some more than others, based on how many counties are in the state. Okay. Georgia has an exorbitant amount of counties.
A lot of little counties.
Yes.
We really do.
So we have 8 chapters in the state of Georgia.
Is that a lot?
Somewhat. Most of those chapters encompass about 22 to 24 different counties.
That's still a lot of counties.
It is. It's a lot. See, we have a lot going on in our counties, especially with all the growth going on out here. So
growing like crazy.
Yes.
So the Northeast Georgia chapter, what does that cover?
So that encompasses from Greene County all the way up to Rabun County. And I also have Forsyth County. So it's kind of like that little pocket.
How long have you been doing this?
I have been in this role just a little over a year, but I started in blood services. Mm-hmm. So a little history about me prior to coming to the Red Cross. I was a wedding planner.
Nice.
Yes. And I really enjoyed it. I worked down in Miami, Key West, Fort Lauderdale doing weddings. It worked beautifully because a lot of the weddings were destination weddings anyway.
That's what popped into my head right away.
Yes. Yeah. So I do all my work from here and then fly down, knock out a few weddings and come back. And it was great. But then COVID hit. That kind of tanked our business and it just became cost prohibitive to travel. So I went to look for a new role and I discovered the Red Cross was hiring in their biomedical services division. I have always had a heart for blood donation. One of my close friends that I worked with for many years has a black diamond anemia.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, it's a rare blood disorder.
Sounds rare, yeah.
Yes. And her parents were told that she would not make it past the age of 4. And she is now 47 years old.
She fooled them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. She gets sometimes 2 blood transfusions a month. She has had a very difficult life and consistently relying on blood, but the world is so much better with her in it. And
absolutely.
I just jumped at the chance to be able to be a part of adding to saving her life.
That is cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, Patty, we're just going to stop the podcast right there. We can't begin to top that. I'm taking the rest of the week off. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does a day in the life of Patty Duckworth look like?
That's
very open-ended.
Yeah. It's a very open-ended question,
but
for sure.
You are dealing with COOs, and then you are dealing with people volunteering, running the local drive for something. It's across the board, the stuff you do.
It is. And I think that's what I love most about my job is that there is no quote unquote day in a life. I mean, every day is completely different. And I love that. I'm able to work with all of our amazing volunteers. 90% of our workforce is volunteer-based.
Right.
It's incredible. And I'm able to affect the blood supply in our Northeast Georgia area from spreading education throughout, whether that be speaking at a Rotary meeting or a Family Connections meeting, or just going out and networking with different nonprofits and talking about everything that we do, because so many people don't know what we do.
Right.
They associate us with one thing or the other. So.
Well, now, when I think of the American Red Cross, I think of blood drives.
Yes, a lot of people do.
That's what you refer to as blood services.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the drive, what does that encompass? It's not just showing up at a location and people giving blood.
Absolutely.
Way beyond that.
Way beyond that. Blood services in general, we supply 40% of the blood in the United States.
Are you serious?
Yes. We're the largest distributor of blood in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Honestly, it's mind-boggling.
Yes.
Wow. One organization.
Yes.
Wow.
There is a facility out in Douglasville. They process blood for three different states. So it's 187,000 square foot facility that runs 24/7.
Probably use every inch of that.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a really cool thing to go and tour it and see what happens to the blood from beginning to end.
It starts at a blood drive.
Yes.
And of course, donors come in. When the Red Cross is done with it, it is ready to take to a medical facility to use.
Mm-hmm.
Processing. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about. But
so what happens
is... There's a lot involved.
Yeah, a lot involved. So when it leaves the blood drive, it stays on ice. Mm-hmm. A courier comes to pick that up and takes it to the Douglasville facility, where it goes through a series of tests to make sure... They test it for a myriad of various illnesses and make sure that it's safe to infuse to the patients. Mm-hmm. Hospitals do not accept blood after 21 days, so that need is constant. The process is very important because they have their own testing that they do once it gets to a hospital.
So it's retested when the hospital gets it.
Absolutely.
But what you're doing has to speed up the process.
Yes. Yes.
Make it a little bit easier.
Absolutely.
Because when someone needs blood, they need blood.
They need blood quickly.
I mean, yes. We'll have some next Thursday. Whether you need it or not, we'll have it.
And to your point, we have had quite a few times when we've had to, especially since the pandemic, where we've had to declare an emergency blood shortage.
I've heard that on TV and the radio.
Yes. It's very scary when we have to do that because it's not something we do lightly.
What is considered a shortage? What is considered a uh-oh?
When we're low on O...
Pure numbers?
Yeah, pure numbers. But when we're low on O negative and O positive blood, mm-hmm. that gets kind of scary. O negative blood is what is transfused into anyone. Anybody can take O negative blood. But 7% of the population is O negative. Not that many. It's a little bit more rare.
It's harder to find.
Absolutely. But that's the blood you're going to see at a trauma center. If you were to come into a hospital, you've been in a bad accident, and they don't know what your blood type is. A lot of people don't know what their blood type is. Right. They're going to infuse that O negative blood.
That's what you're getting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, wow. The lowest percentage of donors and the highest percentage of need.
Yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly.
We're going to get off topic here. I'll get back, I promise. Okay. Is there such thing as synthetic blood in a hospital?
There is not. It cannot be manufactured. It has to come from a live donor.
It has to come from a person.
Absolutely.
It's only 2024, folks. Give it another 50 years.
Right. Another 50, probably.
Another 50. I'm kidding.
There is nothing on the horizon, from my knowledge, that will replace the live donor, unfortunately.
Blood drives. Have them at schools, have them at churches, have them on the parking lot in a big air-conditioned bus, van, or something. I don't know. How does someone line one of those up?
You can always contact our local chapter, and they'll get you to the individual you need to go to mm-hmm. that will set up the drive. All of our blood drives, especially for Northeast Georgia, we don't have the buses right now. So we do internal blood drives. So we would come out, we'd do a quick survey of your location, make sure that you have an area that would be fit for a blood drive. We usually plan them about 4 to 5 months out.
Wow.
Yeah. They take some time because you want to make sure that you provide that educational piece of mm-hmm. what people need to do to donate blood, but then also give the time for people to get the donors in. So.
Yeah. You got to promote it.
Yes.
You got to promote it. Is there an ideal setting, like a school, a church?
Yes.
That always seems to be the two places.
Well, it depends. Often. It depends on the location. You need at least 1,000 square feet, and the air conditioner needs to be able to be at 68 degrees.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yes, because people overheat when they donate blood. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
like science going on or something.
I know.
Physics.
Right? Exactly.
Darn people. I tell you.
Yes.
I had no idea. That's pretty cool.
It is.
That's very cool. We'll get to the website eventually. But putting one of these together, once they contact whoever they need to get in touch with at the Red Cross basically takes control of the situation.
Absolutely.
They put it together.
Yes.
Make sure everything fits. Do you need more locations? Do you need more drives put together?
Absolutely.
If you're booking that far out, it's an ever-evolving thing, I would think.
Consistent, yes. The need is always constant. So we're always looking for new blood drives to put on the calendar.
There's never too many.
No. I mean, it depends. So there are some areas that we do try to make sure we kind of look at the geographic location and make sure that there's not a blood drive running every single couple weeks, because that does happen in some areas.
Really?
It does. And we love those partners. They're amazing.
Yeah.
For the most part, we would love to set up a drive, especially if it's with a school or a church where they have their own blood donors that they can pull from, which is wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Something you and I talked about before, and I had no idea that the Red Cross did this. This is so cool. You basically have, and if I butcher it, forgive me, a home fire campaign.
Yes.
Now, you're not setting homes on fire. But you're providing, what, smoke detectors?
Yes.
And education about home fires.
Yes,
whatever,
absolutely.
I'm trying to say. I don't know. I had no idea the Red Cross did things like that. That is
yes.
So cool.
I had no idea either before I came to the Red Cross. And a lot of people are not aware of that program. One thing we do, the National Sound the Alarm that we do every year, we do that in every chapter. We usually get a team of volunteers to go out and we work in conjunction with the local fire department. We look on a heat map and kind of look at an area that would be more vulnerable, lower income families, people who we feel might benefit the most from our services. And the fire department usually will go out before us. They take flyers and they go to the homes and put them out for the 2 weeks usually before we arrive. So they know we're coming and they're more likely to open the door for us. We knock on doors. We provide education. These are the things that you need to do to prevent having a fire happen in your home. And then we survey the home and we look and see how many fire detectors they need. And we install those free of charge to the community. We will install those.
That is so neat.
It's such an incredible program. So interesting. This time, I think it was in April of last year, out in Covington, Georgia, we installed smoke detectors. And the next day, the house caught on fire.
No.
And
really?
they were able to get out because the smoke detectors were there.
Wow.
And ironically enough, the people who came to install the smoke detectors are the people that came in response to the fire. And that's another part of what we do, is if a home catches on fire, the fire department or EMS will contact us, and then we will go out to that scene and we will provide cards to help them get maybe a hotel room, some clothes, whatever needs that they might have. We will help them get their life-saving medication filled and get that to them. We also assign them a caseworker that will stay with them to help them through the process of whatever they might need in that immediate initial day or two that they are.
Oh, yeah. Life just, the rug ripped out from underneath them.
Absolutely. Yes.
Something I hope none of us have to deal with.
Yeah.
But that is disaster response.
Yes.
Other than blood drives, being there when something really goes bad, that's what I think of with the Red Cross. Disaster
Absolutely.
Response. Not just home fires, though.
Exactly. Yes. We show up to all disasters. So with, for instance, when I was kind of new to the position, Hurricane Idalia came through. That was last September. Valdosta, Georgia got hit really, really hard.
Yeah, they got hit sideways, yeah.
They absolutely did. It would be like us taking on a Category 2 hurricane. Mm-hmm. That would be okay on the coast because palm trees and it's the coast is set up to take that kind of hit.
Buildings are built a little differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But in Valdosta, you have oaks, cedars. They topple down.
Big, heavy objects.
Yeah, like dominoes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And some of that area was already very food poor, so it was pretty devastating to that community. In my role and what I do, we are deployed to disasters, and we work with, we're the government liaisons. So we work hand in hand with the local politicians and their offices to see where we really need to be, where we need to set up a feeding, or we need to be there to set up a shelter. In my position, that's what we do, is we go out and work with those local politicians. I went down there and saw things that I could not... It's hard to even describe the feeling it gives you to be in that type of position.
I imagine it makes you feel
position.
Pretty small.
Yeah, it absolutely
One of those,
does.
It's like the pink elephant on the 50-yard line. Until you see it, you can hear all about it.
Absolutely.
So you were in the middle of that.
I was.
That says a lot about you. I don't believe anyone twisted your arm to go.
They didn't. But I'll tell you, and I was having this conversation with my boss this morning just about if you work, and this is probably true for any nonprofit, but if you work for a nonprofit, you don't work for the nonprofit because you're trying to make a paycheck and you just need a job. You're working for that nonprofit because you wholeheartedly believe in their mission. Mm-hmm. And 1,000% I believe in the Red Cross mission, and to any chance to be a part of that has been such an honor. And, you know, my experience down in Adalia, I was able to help people that otherwise they wouldn't have had anywhere else to go. Yeah. We had a lady, I was out driving and a woman chased my car because I was in a Red Cross car because she needed food. We were able to visit some people in their homes and just hug them, put our arms around them. And
yeah. You're not alone.
Yeah.
That alone is a lot.
Absolutely.
People know they're not alone.
Yes.
Life is scary enough.
It is.
And when you're alone... And then you have a hurricane or tornado come through. Oh, lovely. Now, we've got to bring the energy back up to the podcast. The Red Cross does a ton of work with the armed services, the armed forces, veterans, all the above.
We do.
I love that. I think, and I'm generalizing, I don't think when I say we, I mean all of us. I don't think we do enough. It hits home with me. So when I hear of an organization, any organization, doing extra things, Patty, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
I got to know all about it.
So a lot of people don't realize that we are the communication liaison between here and if someone is deployed overseas. Say that there is a death or a birth or something significant happening in someone's life and that message needs to get out to someone who is deployed overseas. We are that communication. So
really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Absolutely. And we provide that. We also help with transportation and getting those service members back here to handle whatever business they need to handle.
Oh, wow.
And it's an incredible program. Last year, we delivered over 87,000 messages overseas.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's mind-boggling.
It is.
I'm happy that y'all can handle that.
Me too.
That's amazing.
It's so important, and it's really what our organization was founded on, and I feel such a sense of pride that I'm able to be a part of that. A lot of service members in my family. My grandfather was a 3rd Infantry Ranger and a paratrooper. My husband was in the Navy. My father was in the Navy. My father-in-law and my mother-in-law in the Navy. Lots of service members, and I am a huge supporter of the armed forces. Another thing that we do is we will provide resiliency training. So if someone is going to be deployed, you know, it's sometimes a little overwhelming for them, for both themselves and their families.
I imagine, yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll provide resiliency training for not just them, but their families as well. And that is if they're before they deploy and then when they return from being deployed.
What does that prepare them for?
Trying to acclimate back into their regular routine. One, preparing for your loved one is about to be deployed, helping them through that, getting them the support they need to prepare for having their loved one overseas for that period of time. And then when they return, preparing them for what it's going to be like when their loved one returns. And they might have seen a lot of things that...
Could be some after effects.
Absolutely. So helping them through that process and really being that support for them.
So it's as much education maybe as anything else.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's huge.
It is.
Those families, they tend to go through a lot.
Absolutely.
Not just that service person.
They do. It's very difficult. Yeah. A good friend of mine just deployed last week, and this is his 10th deployment.
Wow.
Yeah. He has 3 little girls, and his wife is just a rock and amazing. And
tough lady.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah, I'm serious.
She's fantastic.
Now, you do stuff for veterans, retired?
We have a lot of...
The program extends?
We do. We have the workshops that we have are available to all, especially veterans. So not only do they get involved in some of those workshops, but we have a lot of veterans that volunteer with us and are involved in all of our various programs. So we go out and we talk to the American Legions a lot, and we find that we get a lot of people who are interested in volunteering in various lines of service that we do.
They just want to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're that outlet. You're that avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's going to segue us to volunteer opportunities. What do you think? See how you did that? This is in your blood. It just is. It just is.
You know, there are so many different ways to volunteer.
90% of your quote-unquote workforce, your boots on the ground, are volunteers.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. And I'll tell you what, it is humbling to be a part of so many amazing people, to be in a room of individuals that choose to give their time to our mission. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more amazing about that. And it just makes you feel so thankful to be a part of what we do. There are so many different ways you can volunteer, and you can give as much or as little time as you're capable of giving. One obviously is blood drives. You can volunteer as a blood drive ambassador. That really encompasses you sitting at the registration desk, helping people check in, and just being there to kind of guide them where they need to go for the blood drive. You can also sit at the recovery table, kind of watch for any reactions they might have after giving blood. So that's one way. You can host a drive, donate blood. You can also be a part. We're really short on people who handle our casework for our service to the armed forces. So we could really use a boost in those volunteers.
Now, what does that entail?
So they would be the people who helped to deliver that communication over to. So it's a very important
true
role.
True boots on the ground.
True boots on the ground. Absolutely.
Physically doing it.
Yes. And so that's something we could definitely use help in. You can go to redcross.org and look at those various opportunities. Another way that you can get involved is that you can be a fire responder. So the more that we have, the better. Fires don't happen at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
They don't tend to be scheduled.
No, not at all. The majority of them happen in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night.
As you can imagine, it's hard to wake up out of bed and get going and head out to a very emotional scene.
Yeah.
So it does take a certain type of person. But the more that we have in various areas to help to deliver that mission, the more people that will be helped in our own backyard, right, which is so important. You can also be an installer. So on top of our smoke detector blitzes that we do and sound the alarm, we also provide, we will just go out if someone calls and says, we need you to come out and install smoke detectors in our house. Maybe that we have someone call and say that there's a hearing impaired person that needs a smoke detector. One of our volunteers will actually go out and install those for them free of charge. And it's something that our partners will refer them to us. So that's another way. There's numerous other options to really get involved and be a part of the Red Cross. And I wholeheartedly stand by getting any way you can get in the door with this organization and being a part of it. You will not look back. It's really incredible.
And you will find a job for somebody.
I will. Yes.
There's always something to do.
Yes, there's always something to do.
I want to be the guy handing the cookies out at the recovery table. I think I could handle that.
Yeah.
Anything else, I'm not so sure.
Get those Nutter Butters.
Hey, now. What do you mean we have to give them out?
Can't hoard them.
One for me, one for you, one for me. Redcross.org. Now, I went to the website. Does say someone here in Northeast Georgia need to go to a specific location? Like, there's what? You go to local, you go to the Georgia tab, something within the website?
You can.
Navigating that website? It's a big website.
It is a big website. You can go to redcross.org/Northeast Georgia if you want to go specifically to the chapter. But you can really get all you need from the Red Cross .org. If you wanted it to be specifically about blood, you can go to redcrossblood.org, and then that will tell you everything you need to know.
Where the drives will be at.
Yes. We also have some really amazing apps that you should check out on that website. There's a tornado app.
Really?
Yeah. And
that's
one,
cool.
It's really great. It'll tell you, you can pinpoint where you'd like to get notifications about. So mm-hmm. say that you have family living somewhere and
yeah.
you just want to keep an eye on their area. Mm-hmm. You can dwindle that down and it'll let you know if something
really
is going on in
well,
there.
You have elderly parents living a few hours away.
Yeah, absolutely.
You may know something before they do.
Yes.
That could I could save a life, Patty.
Yeah.
Crazy.
For sure.
I'm telling you. What else do we need to talk about before we get out of here? We covered a lot of ground.
We did. And as we were talking beforehand, I feel like we could do almost a series.
We need to do a series.
Yeah, I would love that. There's just so much to say, and to get into a small little window is almost impossible.
Real quick, redcross.org, right? That's the website.
Yes.
You're on LinkedIn. Red Cross on Facebook or something like that?
So all of our social media is Red Cross, American Red Cross Georgia. Really amazing to go in there and check out everything we're doing in the state. And for all different chapters, everything falls under that main American Red Cross Georgia. So we are on Facebook, Instagram, all of the various sites. And it you can just check it out from time to time and see what's going on in the area. My personal LinkedIn, I gave that to you so you can mm-hmm. put that on your website. And people can contact me anytime if you have any questions.
Awesome. Patty, you're awesome. They're going to play my music. Oh, there it is. That was quick. Patty, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Redcross.org, folks. Get involved. You never know. You may actually save someone you care about or even yourself. I'm Tom Sheldon. We'll talk to you soon.
Life is full of ifs. But if you want to cash flow like a pro and get paid up to 2 days early, safeguard against surprises and supercharge your savings, Regions Life Banking makes it possible.
Regions Bank, embrace the if in life.
Regions Bank, member FDIC.